I have a favorite children's story. Actually, I have lots of favorite children's stories. But this one is called The Velveteen Rabbit. Some of you may know it. Now, the beauty of children's stories is that we can suspend our logic and enter into a world where stuffed animals can speak and where stuffed animals feel. It's a world where stuffed rabbits and skid rocking horses are wise and truthful. In the story of the Velveteen Rabbit, the rabbit wants to become real. And so he consults the skin rocking horse, who is older and wiser and has lived a long time and is thus a little bit more real. The rabbit is told that to become real is risky. It takes time, sometimes lots and lots of time. It can be painful, but it is the result of being willing to give and receive love. Now keep that in mind as we go back almost for over 2,000 years to that evening of the first ever Easter day. The disciples are gathered in a house, all in one room. They're together behind these locked doors. They're afraid for their lives. Now, they've heard the testimony of Mary Magdalene, and Mary, who'd been at the tomb, had seen the risen Christ. Some of those who were there had actually seen the empty tomb, Peter and the beloved disciple. Some believe that Jesus has risen. Some are skeptical. And probably most don't know what to think. They're confused. They're frightened. They're waiting, but they're not quite sure what they're waiting for. The rules of faith, the rules of belief, and of reality have been turned upside down. Now, I want to say a word about belief. We often think of that word as meaning a set of statements or a doctrine that is true or that we have evidence for. I believe that the sun rises in the east. I believe that even on those cloudy days when I can't see it rise, because I have seen it in past days, and it's always been in the east. So I believe that. But in the first century, when we've got Jesus and his disciples, that period we're talking about, belief had more to do with commitment and with trust. So when you believed in God, it meant that you trusted in God's promises and that you were committed to living in a certain way. Now remember, we sometimes forget this, remember, these disciples gathered in that house are all Jews. So they believed in God, but it was the God of the promise, the God of Abraham and Moses and the covenant. And they were living according to the rules laid down in the Torah. So Jesus comes and stands among the gathered disciples. And his first words to them are, "Peace be with you." Shalom in the Hebrew. It's more than a simple greeting. On Jesus' lips, this word of peace, this shalom, is a blessing. It brings that sense of well-being, of wholeness, of completeness, of tranquility. And it changes the entire atmosphere in that room. What they have is the presence of the crucified one. Those frightened, confused, waiting group of individual people have been formed and transformed at that very moment. Jesus had promised to be with them. And now he had fulfilled that promise. On the night before he was crucified, what we call Maundy Thursday, when they had shared that meal and Jesus had washed their feet, he told them that he was going to prepare a place for them, and he would come again and take them to himself. And now, in a most unexpected way, he had fulfilled that promise. The disciples in that room found that through Jesus, their trust in God had been strengthened. No longer were they trusting in the promise of the covenant. The promises of Jesus were now what they held on to. They found that they were being called to live in a new way. Jesus had breathed on them and given them the Holy Spirit. He had given them the authority to proclaim God's forgiveness. And he had announced that they were being sent out to be witnesses. That frightened group of individuals had become the empowered, committed community of believers. Their faith was becoming real. We met within a very short period of time. Peter and John and the rest of the apostles were back out there in Jerusalem and they were preaching the good news. They were defying the chief priests and the council, the very people who had put Jesus to death. They were preaching and talking about the risen Christ to all who would listen. But they hadn't gotten there quite yet. Come back with me to that next day, next week, first day of the week, when the community was again gathered. It had not been complete before because Thomas had not been with them. And I imagine in that time between the first time Jesus appeared and the second time Jesus appeared, that the disciples who had seen him had spent that time talking among themselves all about what had happened. It was amazing. Perhaps they rehearsed what Jesus had said about forgiveness, about the Spirit, or about being sent into the world. I imagine that since Thomas wasn't there with them, they could hardly wait to tell him what had happened. But it didn't go quite the way they had planned. For when Thomas heard what they had to say, he told them that unless he could see for himself, he would not believe. He would not trust God or sign on to that new community, that new way of living, unless he had tangible, real, concrete evidence. We should not be surprised. I suspect I might have reacted the same way. And if you read carefully the other gospel accounts, you'll find out that the rest of the disciples either did not believe the women who came to tell them that Jesus had risen, or they had doubts that were not assuaged until they had actually seen the evidence of the empty tomb. Thomas, throughout history, gets what I think is a bad rap. He's called Doubting Thomas, as if he were someone whose faith is lesser, has a lesser quality, because he wanted to see. But doubt is not a bad thing. Doubt is not to be avoided. Doubt is an important part of faith, necessary to belief. When we question, when we reflect, when we doubt, when we seek answers, when we try to figure out how this all works and comes together, it deepens our faith. Doubt is one of the methods by which faith becomes mature and real. Now, faith is a gift of God. And like any gift, it needs to be accepted and received. And then it needs to be used, to be lived. Our faith grows stronger when we question, but also when we have experiences of the living Christ, when we know that God is in our lives, our faith deepens when we act on that faith sometimes beyond the faith we think we have. Thomas is an example of how faith deepens. Put yourself in Thomas's place for just a minute. For faith to become real, it's a risky business. It requires time, and it can be painful. Thomas had been one of the 12, the original disciples called by Jesus. He'd been with Jesus and the others since the beginning. He journeyed with them from Galilee to Jerusalem. And Thomas had courage. When we hear the story of how Lazarus had died and Jesus wanted to go to Bethany to be with Mary and Martha, his disciples tried to dissuade him. He had been to Judea and he had been almost stoned. And so they said, you know, do you want to do that again? Let's not do that. Let's stay here and be safe. And Thomas's response was, let us go also, that we may die with him. Thomas questioned. He sought to understand. At that Last Supper, when Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, he spoke of going to prepare a place for them. And he said to them that they would know the way to the place he was going. But Thomas, being Thomas, questioned, said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And so, one week after Easter, those disciples are again huddled behind closed doors, but this time Thomas is with them. And Jesus comes again, and he offers Thomas the evidence that he requires. But seeing Jesus is enough. He doesn't need to touch. Thomas comes to believe with that simple confession of faith, my Lord and my God. Now, that's the last we hear of Thomas. Tradition has it that he went to India and founded the Christian church there. But we don't know for sure. But with those simple words, my Lord and my God, Thomas has been transformed to be a witness to all that he had seen. So, what does that mean for us? Here, in Silverdale, in 2016. Well, first of all, I think we can take Thomas as an example, and when we talk about doubting Thomas, see that doubt is good. Something that enhances our faith. And secondly, when we are frightened or when we are unsure, to know that Jesus is there among us, offering us those words of peace. We too can know that we have been given the Spirit, empowered, forgiven, and sent. And we know that we can experience the transformation that happens when faith grows and becomes even more real. We can say with Thomas, my Lord and my God.